Today, the ladies sat down at the red table and they answered the fans' burning questions. We have all of that and more. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Whoa.
It's the shoulder.
It's the shoulder. Yes. Welcome back, you guys. This is the Red Table Talk After Show. I am Tyler Simone, and I couldn't do this without my lovely panel. Hello.
Hey.
What's up?
What's going on? It's your man, the Tyler Tyson.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jay Lamar, in the building.
Thank you guys for being here.
Well, listen, we got that call. I ran some people over to get here, but we are here.
And I pulled on up. And I had a parking spot.
You were early. I noticed. I was like, oh, Jay got a good spot. He's early.
I'm early.
Yes.
Straight from the job.
Yes, straight from one job to the next.
Period. It's bag season, sis.
Absolutely.
Making these bags.
We thank you guys for being here with us tonight. We're going to be talking about today's episode where the ladies sat down and answered some questions. How did you guys feel about this episode in general?
Oh, man. This episode was pointless. It was the shortest. Well, not the shortest. One of the shortest episodes. Aside from the Jordan Woods thing, there was nothing really in this episode. They answered like two questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, y'all could have kept this. Or you actually could have put it out yesterday when you were supposed to. But other than that,
I would say it was decent for what it was. It's real touch and go. I would have loved to have seen more topics discussed aside from the four or five topics that were discussed. I would love to have seen more things talked about, or just like things talked about in depth. Like when Jada talked about her relationship with Trey's mom, and I would have loved to have seen that unpack a little bit more. Than they did the Jordan Woods situation. I would have loved maybe if Jordan came and sat back at the table.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would have been
when
nice.
The lie detector results were read or something like that.
Yes.
Or even have Khloe Kardashian on and she opened up the lie detector results
and seen that Jordan
something.
That would have been hot.
Yeah, that would have been hot.
Red Table Talk, executive producer.
Right.
I'm ready.
Go ahead and shoot him a DM. Mm-hmm. He is available.
I am
Jay Lamar. Coin ready.
Period.
You and this period is taking me out of here.
I'm sorry, Pooh.
Period, Pooh.
I'm trying to get home for the holidays. Jada made a sponsor up.
Oh, it does.
Come on and preach.
Right. Well, the first topic that they covered was Sheree coming to the red table and speaking with Jada about their relationship and how it's grown, which you can definitely see the growth, especially when they replayed the clip, which I didn't realize. I didn't see that episode.
Oh, really?
I don't know why.
But yeah, that was before we started doing the after
yes.
show.
But,
and that wasn't this season.
Right.
Maybe that's why.
That was the first season or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still love that episode. The part that they played, which is when Sheree is talking to Jada and she's like talking about how they got along or did not get along. And then Trey comes home and she asks, well, what did you think of Miss Jada? And he's like, oh, I love her, Mom. Like that to me was just like
was
a
epic.
Touching moment. Have y'all ever dated or been with anyone that had kids?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so that to me, it hit a nerve, and I loved that moment.
Yeah. Have you ever?
I have. You have.
Absolutely have.
You have.
Yeah.
How is that? Because I haven't.
My fear going into it was that I love kids. I don't have any yet, but I love kids, and so I already knew at that particular time, and the child's name was Tyler, so that always helps. But at that time, Tyler was four, and I knew, I was like, oh, I'm going to fall in love with this little kid. Like, I just know it. So what happens if this doesn't work? If this doesn't work, that's not my kid.
Right.
And, of course, it didn't work after 6 years, so now Tyler's 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the hardest part of the breakup and everything was being away from Tyler. He didn't have Instagram at that time. Like, he's 10, so it's like that was cut.
Yeah.
And it's just hard.
Yeah, I dated, my ex-fiance had two children. So when we met, he had a four-month-old and he had a two-year-old. So we were together for 5.5 years. So I, too, became very attached to the children in a different type of bond than I had for him. You know, my love for him was, you know, great. But my love for them, for the children was like, it was so pure and authentic. And I loved them to the core. So yet when we broke up, I thought that I would be able to continue to have that relationship with the children. And, you know, he didn't want me to have that relationship with the children because he couldn't move on.
Yeah.
But I still check in on them and, you know, he'll send me pictures here and there like, oh, they're in high school now and stuff like that. But when I was first introduced to them, you know, I remember thinking in my head, like, oh, I love kids too.
Yeah.
So I just knew that it was going to be an instant bond. And we really all clicked, you know. I remember his daughter, like, she was 2 going on 3 and she was talking. So, like, I remember she would go to daycare and, like, me and her would sit up and, like, eat and, like, talk. And she would tell me all about daycare and the kids at daycare. And that was, like, an instant bond. And I remember when he proposed to me and I had the ring on and she asked me, she was like, my daddy bought you that ring? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. She was like, y'all getting married? I said, yeah. She was like, but ain't daddy supposed to marry you?
Oh.
And she stopped. And she stopped and she was like, never mind. I was like, no, let's talk about it. Let's unpack this.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And she was like, no, it's fine.
Well, how old was she at that time?
At that time, she was 5.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how she was
young.
Mm-hmm.
She was young to
and
young.
How old were you when you got into that relationship?
I was 19.
Okay, you were younger than me. I was in my lower 20s. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, at the time, like looking back now, I'm like, oh, I was too young for that.
I was
so young. But
yeah.
I, of course, I handled it in a very mature way. But I was so, there were points, even though I never took it out on the child or whatever, like, you have to check yourself in those type of relationships because the child always comes first. So it's like you go into this situation knowing I will always be second.
And Tyler!
That is a really, really, really hard thing to do.
Right. Ooh. And that's what they were saying. If you're going to date someone with children, you have to be willing to put the children first. Mm-hmm. But when you're that young, how are you okay with it? Because those are our single
To me, it was my partner's responsibility, not my responsibility.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so, even though I was very, I feel like, immature in certain ways, I was mature to the fact and knowing that it was his responsibility to make sure that the children were put first. And I had to accept that. Walking into it, did I know that? No, I was 19.
Yeah.
But I surely, when I walked into it, I knew that his children were first.
Yeah.
But I think he balanced the two of us, I mean, the three of us, very well. Mm. I think that there were boundaries set. Like, you know, when I'm with my kids, this is what we do. But he always included me. So it wasn't like me and the kids doing this. It's like we as a unit on the weekends, Thursday through Sunday, this is what we do as a unit.
Yeah.
Which limited kind of what I did in college and stuff like that because I was with him for the duration of my, you know, undergrad years. So, like, weekends, he was like, oh, you're not going partying. Like, we're doing stuff as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't resent him for that because I kind of wanted to be in that. But I feel like I grew up so fast with that. But I think that's why now I don't think I can date a person with children.
I won't say I can't, but it's definitely something that I'm like, yeah, you know what, maybe not. Whereas before, I was all open to it.
I just, at this, I don't want to be second.
I can't.
Yeah. I don't want to walk into it knowing that I'm playing number 2 already.
Yeah.
And I always knew that. I'm like Gammy. I've always said I would never date anyone with kids. That's one of the questions that I ask. And if it's a yes, then I'm just out.
You're done. That's your deal breaker.
Completely. Yeah, because it's not... consciously, I'm not thinking about it in terms of being second, but I just know that it will come with some sort of responsibility and that the connection that you form and it possibly having to be broken if it doesn't work out, all of that.
I think I'm not scared of that now because I think I know how to handle that. I think it's when I'm ready to do something, I don't want to have you have to include a third party. And that third party is not the child.
It's
a child's
other parent.
Mm, yeah. The baby.
So every decision that we make, you have to incorporate that third parent. Whether it's us just going out of town and it's supposed to be your week and you can't get that child for the week, you have to sit there and ask somebody else, can we go out of town?
Yeah.
Right. And
I ain't with that.
And when I think I was like 24-ish, 23, 24-ish, and I would still, like, if we had a trip to go somewhere and it was like, oh, well, it's issue, I'm still going. Like, I was in that headspace where, like you said, this is your responsibility. I'm just kind of, like, helping out, you know, because I want to be in this with you. But
And my ex used to hate when I would say stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. Because I feel like you get with that person and their child, you mm-hmm. can't just be with mm-hmm. that person.
And see, for me, it was like I said, I was in college. So it would be like college parties. And I'm like, okay, well, I fed the kids.
Ooh, and you did it in college
too. Yeah, I fed the kids.
Oh my gosh.
I fed you.
If I could tell y'all what I was doing in college, I definitely was not mature enough in college. I was like drunk. Every day.
When I say
every weekend,
there's no rule book to being a co-parent at 19, 20. Like, there's no rule book. Like, I had no idea what my expectations were. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, okay, we're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
To go back and do it again, would I? Oh, no. Yeah. I don't think so. I think that it was a lot to take. It was a lot of responsibility to take on at that age.
That is a lot.
But even now at 31, it's like, I don't know. That's why I said, I don't know if I would do that again.
Yeah.
But just like the situation with Cherie, Tyler's mom and dad, like, really got to a point where I felt like I was, I guess, embraced, because initially there mm-hmm. was so much. Like,
yeah.
Because Tyler and I, like, Tyler's, I don't want to put all their business in the street, but y'all know how I roll. Tyler's mom is a mechanical engineer, and his dad was an attorney, and so they had these big booming careers. I'm 24, broadcast journalism right out of college, so I'm just doing little odd and end reporting jobs here and there. So I had all this time, and so Tyler and I spent a lot of time. I mean, we did everything. And so Tyler, at 4, 5, 6, of course, every time he's coming home, all he's talking about is me.
Right.
And so his dad was pissed. Yes. Like, why is he always talking about you? Why? Like, where are you? Are you parenting? It seems like, you know, Tyler's parenting Tyler. Like, that's not his child. Like, so it took a while for us to get to that kumbaya moment. Mm-hmm. And I guess we got there by my not even, like how Jada said she would pick up the phone and be like, oh, this is my house now or whatever.
Yeah.
I never did any of that. Like, even though there was a lot of back and forth, I just kind of removed myself.
I think it was hard for me to be hands off like that. Because I'm not sure how your situation was, but my ex had told his children's mother, that he wasn't going to be gay anymore. He said that he was going to start dating women again. So when the children would go home, and my nickname is JJ, when they would go home and they would talk about JJ, she would see my car in the driveway, but she just assumed that JJ was like his new girlfriend's baby. Her baby.
Oh, thought like a little kid.
So when I first encountered her, it was all on accident. I was literally walking out the doors to hand him his son to put in the car, and she was standing right there, and she was like, "Who was that?"
Oh yeah, no, I didn't do anything.
And the baby was like, "Bye, JJ," and she was like, "Wait, JJ, a grown man?" So it was a little tumultuous in the beginning, because she was like, "Well, he lied to me about not being gay anymore." So it was like a whole little spiel with that.
It's such a weird, that whole child exchange is so, I think there was like, of the 6 years that we were together, that might have been three times, max four maybe, that I was involved in that child exchange. And it literally is, you drive into wherever the spot was, Tyler gets out of one car, gets in the other. Like, it's the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable, too.
Yeah,
I would think so. I would think it was uncomfortable, honestly. And that's why I just chose to stay away.
Yeah, because smart. You know what? Also, you take on the heat of, if they get into it with that other parent.
Definitely.
Because my ex, when they would get into it, he wouldn't necessarily take it out on me, but he would come home with his head down low, upset. I'm like, what's wrong? It messes up the mood. I don't know what's going on.
Even if y'all have something planned, it messes up.
Yes.
Definitely.
And I have no clue what's going on. And then he tells me, like, oh, this is this, that, and the other. And I'm like, wow. Like, so their emotions are playing into our household emotions.
Yeah. Just too much.
Too much.
Way too much.
Too much.
Let's talk about the whole idea of having a wedding in the very, very beginning stages of your relationship. Jada feels like a wedding like they are today is meant to happen later down the road, like 20
now,
years.
Now, I love me some Jada. I'm sorry. I love me some Jada. But you get one life to live, and the days are numbered. So if you want that wedding today.
The wedding.
That's
what it sounds like you said, the wedding.
But
if you want to say, you have to have it today.
Do you think that it is creating this fantasy about how amazing, I mean, marriage can be amazing.
I feel like marriage, you can never expect your marriage to be what you always thought it would be.
Right.
And I feel like all of us, no matter what generation you're in, you walk into that situation with such high hopes, which is, you're supposed to have high hopes.
Definitely.
And you get let down. Mm-hmm. But that's the expectation to me of marriage. Like, I'm going to walk into my marriage knowing that it's going to be great, hoping that it's going to be perfect. Upset when it's not, but yeah. I'm not going to quit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The reality is we are two individuals trying to become one.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm always the lone man out. I have never thought about my wedding. I have never really been that interested in having a wedding and being married. Like, none of those things have been on my list of things to do. Now, of course, as you get older, you see your friends getting married and thus divorced and then remarried and then all of these things.
So when
things,
you go to their weddings, you don't think like,
nope. I think
I want to wear blue at my wedding.
Nope. I don't know what color. I don't know what location. I have no when I say zero thought has gone into the Tyler Tyson.
Such a man. Well,
Not that big of a thing for me. And so,
do you want to get married?
Eventually. I'm not rushing to do it, obviously, but. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you haven't met anyone. Because I feel like I have.
So you ain't never like laid up in the bed with somebody, had pillow talk about the fantasy wedding?
Hell no. Never.
Have you? Am I the only one?
I have, I have for sure. But it hasn't happened that many times. Maybe with one person that I thought, you know, but it's not with everyone.
But I low-key like what Jada said about the whole wedding thing because you put all, so what I have learned watching the multitude of friends of mine get married is that you put all of this money into this event. Most of the time people go in debt, but that's a whole other story. You put all this money into this event. Everybody's now in your business because they have attended the wedding. People that have seen you since you were 10 are now at this wedding. Mm-hmm. And then when you go through your troubled times, you're going to have those that want you to get divorced because they want you to be as bitter as they are. You're going to have those that always want to give their input when you have a rough time and tell you what you should and should not do when really you two should just be talking to each other and working this thing out. So Absolutely. You're getting unsolicited advice a lot of times. And then if there is a divorce, people have to choose a side and it's this whole thing. Whereas I completely understand what Jada says. Like, there are so many things that you go through before the marriage when you're just in a relationship, then when you get engaged, and then once you finally do technically get married, there's still so, you get to 5, 6, 7, 8 years and you think, oh, smooth sailing. Your rough patch can be at year 10. But
your rough patch can be at year 20.
It could be. But then when you make it past that rough, that is really the celebratory month. Yes, you celebrate the fact that you found new love and you want to spend the life with somebody and all of this stuff. So I'm not saying don't have the wedding. But I also feel like when you make it through that rough patch, that is the moment where I'm really going to have like a major celebration.
I don't agree. I feel like the celebratory moments of a marriage are continuous throughout the relationship.
That's true. Absolutely.
Before and after we may go through the tumultuous times, we're going to celebrate.
But
so I want to start this marriage off in a celebration.
I'm saying you have the wedding initially. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, if at year 10, we go through something to the point where I tell you, you know what, I want a divorce. Like, I'm literally telling you that I want a divorce. And somehow, through the miracle of God, we work this thing out and we don't have the divorce. Mm-hmm. Oh, you better believe that celebration for that.
It's time for another win.
It's going to be bigger than that first one because that first one was all new. But this shows that we can go through trials and tribulations and we still are going to be here to it end. And it's time to celebrate because I really thought this. Oh, almost cussed. This thing was over.
Well, that's why you get a bigger diamond after 10 years, after 15, after 20.
Then Jada say at one point she feels like you should, after so many years, there should be like a renewing of a contract or something. Like, or maybe I just made this up. Maybe.
I don't remember her I do remember her saying that she mentioned people just getting married just to have the wedding itself, have the big
now,
party.
There are
people like that. And I think that's mainly her point is that people are just doing it just to do it. People don't even know what a marriage consists of. I feel like we all having these conversations are learning and we're open to like all this new information. But some people, they have no idea that being married means having to really work at it.
That's
they just think it's
work.
Being with someone and having a ring and that's
it's
it.
Well, that goes out to the hopeless romantics out there. They look at a marriage like, oh, I want to be married. But like you said, they don't understand that marriage takes work and patience. Because like I said before, you're combining two individuals into one. That is a hard thing to do in anything, whether it's a job assignment or a marriage. That's a hard thing to do. Yeah. And I think that so many people forget that marriage is going to be hard work. I know for me, you know, the two times I was about to get married, I literally was not thinking about the hard work it was going to take to sustain the marriage.
Yes.
I was very focused on planning the wedding and the happy moments. Like, oh, we're going to do this for our honeymoon. We're going to do this for our anniversary. We're going to wear these colors. I never really thought about if we went into a rough patch, what would we do?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about having a premarital counseling.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Which I think is so important.
And at this age now, and like you said, we watch friends get divorced and remarried and divorced again.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I want to make sure that when I walk into this next my marriage, that we all are one accord.
And we bring so many, like you said, when you're trying to, basically a marriage is you're taking two lives and making it one.
Mm-hmm.
So all of your trash and your garbage, all of your trash and your garbage, we're combining to make one big garbage heap. And it's like, if you have not had any therapy, haven't even talked about some of the issues that are messing with you, and you haven't either, not saying it's a road destined for a disaster, but it's definitely a tougher road. And then also, what are our backgrounds in this? Like, if you come, like, I really feel like, unfortunately, especially in the Black community, we have such a weird connection with marriage. Like, some of us, it's like we're all cut into a third. A third of us, our parents fought and did whatever, and they're still married. Now, whether they like each other or not at this point is regardless, but they're still together. So some of us have that background. So we think no matter what, you stay together, whether you like the person or not. The other third of us come from a situation where our parents were married and got divorced. And so we come from a philosophy where if it's not working, we try our best, but there's nothing wrong with getting divorced and finding love afterwards. The other third of us, which now makes the whole for my math students, they don't have an example at all. They were raised by single moms or dads that did not date, that did not get remarried. So they don't even know what it really takes to make a marriage. Now, you mix all of this together, and in any one of these, you partner with someone that comes from a completely different background.
Yeah.
Trash. Because none of us go to therapy, really.
Right.
And we definitely don't talk about relationships and our parents and the garbage that they've passed on to us. So it's just like...
Yeah.
I would love to, like, the moment that I'm in a serious relationship with somebody, even before we take it to the level of engagement, I would love to go to therapy and unpack some things, because I feel like that's like if we start dating somebody that had children again, we have we still have scars from that particular situation.
I am wounded.
Because like I said, like you said, when I meet somebody that have children, it's like,
nope.
They can have everything I want.
Yeah.
But that one thing, I'm like, I don't know if I can do that again.
Yeah. I am now at a place, and this is the hardest part. I'm like Willow in the sense, Willow mentioned on another episode that she is a pleaser. She's it's really hard for her to like say what she wants and go after what she wants. She likes to make everybody else happy. Ooh. I am that guy.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard for me sometimes to say, you know what, this is how I feel, and be okay with this is how I feel, and then just live in this is how I feel. I'm always cognizant and worried about, oh, is Jay good? Jay's cool. Okay, is Tyler good? She's good. Okay, let's celebrate y'all. I can celebrate me by myself. Like, so now I'm at a point now where I say, this is the reason why I can't do the kid thing, is because I'm cool with just being about me. Like, I think I should, you know.
And you should. I think I'm bad at not compromising when it comes to that. I'm like, with
we're the
anything,
opposite.
It's like, I don't compromise, whether it's the children or finance or something like that. I'm not willing to compromise.
Yeah.
And I think that stems from my hurt and my pain in previous relationships, because I compromise so much.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I'm not compromising nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
And I know it shouldn't be like that.
Yep.
But I also don't want it, because I want us to both experience that together for the first time.
Yeah.
If you've already went through the whole birth thing, it's like, okay, experience it for the first time, and
you're a pro.
You
right. This your third child. You
right,
good. You
right.
Don't even show up to the birth anymore, because you know what it,
you know what it is.
But then there are men, like I said, I don't want to take that over from my ex. I can't say if me and him would have experienced childhood together with a child of our own, I think he would have made sure it made me feel like it was my first.
Yeah.
Because I could say he was good at toggling both. So if you do meet a man and he does have a child, I hope that he at least makes you feel like it's your first.
Yeah.
Because I have friends who are, you know, have gotten remarried and stuff like that, or dating somebody and they had two kids and they're having a child together and they didn't make it feel like it was their first. And I'm like, that's not fair to you.
That's not fair at all. Let's talk about Jordan really quick.
Yes.
So the lie detector test, I was...
I knew she wasn't lying.
I knew she wasn't lying. didn't either. That's what I was going to say. I didn't know
y'all
that...
are going to hate me, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, here he go.
Go ahead.
Here he go.
So she took the lie detector test right after the show, obviously, because she's wearing the same outfit and everything. Mm-hmm. That was definitely planned. They said that she requested it, but I mean...
She only answered one question.
That's what I was about to say. Two things. One, they should have shown more of the lie detector test, yes, and not just one question. Because that low-key, because of editing, those of us that are in entertainment, you know they will edit some stuff and it just kind of makes it look a little shaky. Like,
okay, you say, okay, you didn't sleep with Tristan. Okay.
But did you do oral? Did he kiss you? Were there any hugging? Was there any appropriate contact? Like,
how you get to his house, sis?
What were you thinking? Did you tell Chloe that you were going to his house? Like, all of that.
Yeah, we didn't learn anything new necessarily. Now, she has already been saying that nothing happened. Yeah.
Now, for the listeners, viewers out there that might be like me, I don't know and don't care about anything Kardashian. I barely even know.
I love them.
Me too. I actually really like the Kardashians.
They are intelligent women.
I barely know this story as far as what happened. So please refresh
what
happened with Jordan Woods and Chloe. What happened? What is the whole thing about? Like, yes, I get allegedly she slept with Tristan, but what really had happened?
They were at the same party and they were really close. Her legs were on top of his, which made people really confused. Mm-hmm. You know, why are you so close? Why are your legs on top of his? And there was allegedly a kiss, but they confirmed that there was a kiss, right?
Yeah, but this is my thing.
He kissed her.
On the mouth. With tongue?
That's why I wanted the man of the lie detector to ask her, did she like it?
Jordan.
How he kissed you, where he kissed
Jordan.
You at?
Hey.
Did he finger you? It was questioning me.
You said, did he finger you?
Yeah, it was questioning me to be asked. He didn't sleep with you, but he touched your cootie wire. Like, it was stuff that he could have asked to really, you know, got the buzz going.
Okay. So, Jordan, hey, Tyler. This is Tyler. I need you to come on this show. We will set you up here at AfterBuzz with a lie detector test. You can sit right here, and we can ask you the real questions. Because apparently, as much as we love the Red Table, they haven't released what those questions are. So you've left us still wondering what actually had happened.
And you know what? That brings up a really good point. The end of the episode, Gammy got really candid about
the editing.
Yep. And it got really weird for a second. The energy got really weird, as if Jada was kind of looking at her like,
because there might be something that cut. There was something that they cut
there
out. And Gammy, you know, she's new to this entertainment world. She's putting it out there.
Yeah,
in the
I definitely think that Jordan has an NDA that she probably can only talk about so much. So she probably shared a lot with the table.
Mm. Yeah.
And due to editing and contracts and stuff that she probably have signed with the Jenners and the Kardashians, only so much was probably able to be like put out there.
That's probably why
Gammy probably said,
I know,
pull back. Like, that's why Gammy probably was mad. Like, well, we talked about more, but you only showed this because of that.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. And I think that, do I think this was a publicity stunt? No. But do I think that families got off on it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that Chris had a piece of this.
Oh. Yeah, definitely.
I just had this protein shake. I'm so sorry. But you know, Chris never misses an there.
She
there are
it
two
all.
People.
Had a piece of this.
I'm sure there's more than two, but two people right off the top of my head never freaking miss a moment to capitalize. Beyonce and Kris Jenner. Yeah. They know how to find and secure bags out of tragedy. Look how Kim even got started. Let's remind the people, she was on her back, legs open. We have seen everything. That's
how she
got started.
She was on her stomach. But go ahead.
Well, if you watch the video all the way through.
Okay. I've seen the Twitter clips. Twitter clips only 6 minutes.
I mean, not that I have.
Anyway, this is a family show.
My point is though, they know how to capitalize something horrific, because that technically should have ended the beginnings of her career. But look where she is now. She's at the top of the totem pole.
I applaud Chris, because I feel like this year Kardashians didn't have a whole lot going on. You know, Kim had a baby, that was one thing, but they really didn't have a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
This situation allowed them to be talked about a whole nother year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So 2020, guaranteed something else going to happen that we're going to be talking
and
about
if not,
again.
Kim is going to take something off and be naked yet again.
Or someone
just have to see.
Or Kendall going to have a baby.
Ooh, she better not.
I keep forgetting about
her. I like her as the sister that doesn't have any
kids. The two sisters that don't make the most noise that I actually like the most. Kendall and Courtney. Those are the only two I really kind of like, not like low key interested to see what is going on.
I don't know how we got here, but I love Kim.
You always fall into the Kardashian black hole.
Chris did this to us. She did this to
here she is again.
Back to Jordan.
Back to Jordan.
Back to Jordan.
Sorry.
Basically, our final thought on the whole Jordan is that they didn't show enough, and we still don't know anything new.
However, I would like to say that I do believe Jordan.
Yes.
I'm a fan. I do believe Jordan. I think that she just ended up in a immature situation. I mean, she's only in her early 20s. Come on now. We've all made mistakes.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that magnitude, but we've all made mistakes. So definitely. I thoroughly believe her. She messed up. She should lose a lifetime friend something like that.
You said on the last show that you were here that I should ask my followers, would you have a threesome with your best friend? And I am now going to put that question out to all of my followers.
Yeah.
In lieu of the Jordan Woods thing that I'm still learning about, like, how do you even go about...
But I don't think that, honestly speaking...
Well, not even a threesome, but, like, if your leg is on, like, that...
I don't think Jordan would have done that to Kylie. I really do not think that Jordan would have done that to Kylie.
Kylie was dating Travis Scott?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she would
have... Would you put your leg on Travis Scott?
No. If I'm Kylie's friend?
I don't think Jordan would have did that to Kylie. I think they have certain boundaries. I think that...
Or maybe he just wasn't the right guy. Maybe he's not attractive enough to put your leg on.
Well, God, but we don't know. We just don't know. Yeah. We weren't there. We don't know what Tristan and Jordan's relationship was like. Were they really good friends? I have really good guy friends. I'd put my leg on them.
But you know what? They don't have boundaries when it comes to certain things, though.
Yeah.
So like, when you do something, they want to get mad. Yeah. But there are no boundaries. So how are you going to be mad?
You don't have your man around your girlfriends all the time. You know, it could have been something as small as they seem like they're so close-knit that, you know, Chloe walk around, she probably got on her bathrobe. Jordan walk around, she got on her bathrobe. You know, Tristan in there probably with just some shorts on, like, and his shirtless.
Yeah.
So they like to have those type of situations that happen. So he could have been looking at Jordan ass while she walking.
Of course, who isn't?
While she walking around the house. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they don't have those type of boundaries. My man ain't walking around. With his shirt off.
Well, you've already said you're not even leaving your man in a room with a group of people if you're not there. So
if he making cereal and Tyler over there, I'm gonna be right there. The kind of we all make a cereal.
Stop it.
Period.
You and this
don't watch
period.
My man pour this milk.
Period. Okay. And on that note, Tyler Tyson, take it away with our Mr. and Mrs. Smith news segment.
What's up, y'all? It's your man, Tyler Tyson, and I'm here with the Mr. and Mrs. Smith news and gossip, so let's go ahead and jump right on into it. First things first, this video from Jada. She just released a movie that's on Apple Plus. Take a look.
Sounds like it's been a remarkable journey to bring this film to life. What do you hope viewers take away from it?
My only hope is that understanding of this particular journey and having the opportunity to experience this very specific journey. I think that whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a young girl, whether you're a grown woman, whether you're a brother, whether you're a husband, I think everybody that watches this movie can relate to certain aspects of this film because it's Hala's journey, but there's, you know, such a complicated familial relationship, you know, just as far as her relationship with her mother, the relationship between the parents. Wherever you're from, it doesn't matter. We're all humans experiencing similar situations. And that's what connects us.
So Hala is the movie. It is on streaming on Apple Plus. You can find it right now. It's already out, so go check it out. Yeah, I'll check that out. Mm-hmm. Next up, I believe, okay, so you guys know that Jaden is always feeding people. You can go ahead and play this video. I'll talk over it. Jaden was out here in these streets. Y'all know it's been raining. Well, you might not know. It's been raining like crazy in Los Angeles. And so even in the rain, his vegan food truck was out there feeding people for free, doing his thing. So big ups to Jaden. That video was posted 2 days ago, I believe. And then tonight, he is actually performing in San Francisco, I believe. So once again, you can check Willow and Jaden out in San Francisco tonight.
Are they coming to LA?
They are, December 19th.
Ooh.
We should go.
I told AfterBuzz, Black Hollywood Live, we need tickets.
It's for the show.
It's for the show. We're doing research.
Yeah, figure it out.
So make sure y'all check out Willow and Jaden on their tour. Speaking of Willow, She was once again committed to her yoga. I just wanted to bring this video to you guys again, which I will continue to talk over. Willow was out here doing her exercises. I still have yet to try any yoga, but she is out here killing the game. She made a commitment and she's sticking to it. That is the key to any exercise regimen. Whatever your goal is, you just got to be consistent. Even the days you don't really feel like it, you just got to be consistent. And Willow is showing us that consistency while she's still on tour. Yeah. So the excuse that you're busy is no excuse. And speaking of, here's just a little acoustic moment from Willow that she posted today.
I love that little mix-up.
Right? I wasn't expecting that.
No.
I would love to see Willow live. She, for some reason, is not similar in music style, but for some reason, her voice kind of puts me in the headset of Summer Walker and all of those people. So I would love to check her out. You guys know this week was Jay-Z, his birthday, and Will posted this picture shouting out Beyonce's husband. He said, "I can't believe Beyonce's husband just turned 50. And he's like, shout out to Hov from Jada's husband. So just wanted to show y'all he's showing Hov with some love. And then you guys also know that we posted that he has a movie that I believe is about to come out. If it hasn't come out already, here's a little video where he's at a premiere or some type of event talking about the event or just playing around with the event in the background. I forgot that there was music in this, so I apologize to our producers because, you know, we're trying to not have any issues so we can go ahead and move on to the next video. But he's showing y'all that he still has his Ali moves and he still throws some 1-2s at you.
Uh-huh.
Spies in Disguise, like I said, should be out. If it's not out now, it's coming out next week or sometime very soon in December. And also, I didn't know that there is a clothing line called Bel Air. I can't see from this far, but there is, if you go to Will Smith's page, you can actually check out his clothing line. I love that jacket. I think I'm actually going to purchase that one.
Give me one.
Has a clothing line that is called Bel Air.
That's cute.
So I thought that was pretty dope. And then finally, I wanted to bring y'all this video. You know, we love to leave y'all on a happy-go-lucky, upbeat moment. So here's just some dance moves from Will and Jada.
Bam.
Oh, once again, there is music. Why is there always music? I keep forgetting. You know, if I ever get the right team behind me, this is what my Instagram will look like. I keep saying that, but my Instagram would be so fly if I actually had people doing it for me and I didn't have to do it.
Right.
It's also low-key a promo for his movie. Like I said, that is coming out, Spies in Disguise. So if you haven't checked it out, it looks like a great family fun movie. Take your kids, have fun with your friends, relive your childhood, get drunk, and just have a good time.
Get drunk. And that's part of, yeah.
And I am Tyler Tyson with your Mr. and Mrs. Smith news update.
We all know he keeps a job.
Thank you.
You keep a job.
He does. He keeps a job for sure. Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for joining us here today at the table. The Red Table Talk After Show will be here again next Monday. Well, we were here Tuesday. It's Tuesday today. But we'll be back on Monday, next Monday. I'm Tyler Simone. You can follow me on Instagram at Miss Tyler Simone. Where can they follow you guys?
You can get your entire life following me on all social media at The Tyler Tyson.
If you're trying to get your life, you can follow me on all social media platforms.
Lord only knows what you'll find.
A lot. Follow me on all social media platforms at I Am J Lamar.
Okay, we'll
Period
see you
Period poo.
Period poo.
Period. I hate when y'all say, now y'all got me saying this. Oh, God.
Bye, y'all.
Y'all have a good one. Bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture.
Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.